Hello and welcome to the Fishing Guide Podcast. I'm your host, Brad Weekman. We are in Southtown Sporting Goods and we're back with Larry again because Larry's a wealth of information and it's always a good time and we always learn something when we're here. And so, Larry, we want to talk about how fish see and hear and stuff like that.
Well, first, thanks for coming by, but you're outside my bailiwick, so this is going to be purely intuitive for both of our parts. We know they have good eyes, that's for right. Sure, for seeing. Their hearing is, they don't have ears like we do, but they do have a lot of sensory organs. The lateral line is really important for them, for sensing movements around them. Right. And then they evolve different mechanisms. The paddlefish, for example, will have the long snout or proboscis or whatever you want to call it. It's loaded with sensory organs, so they can pick up plankton. They're very sensitive for feeding, and then catfish, of course, with their little barbels. Fish have adapted quite well. It's not hearing as we know it. Now, their sound carries in water. We know that.
Right.
And we can hear it. If we scuba dive, we can hear bubbles. And we can hear fish making noises. How they perceive it, I don't fully understand, but I know they have a lot of sensory mechanisms that help them pick up a range of vibrations. And that's probably where we're headed, I think. What range do they pick up, and how do fishermen get around this? How do you attract them to what you want them to hear, and keep them from hearing what you don't want them to hear?
I mean, you have a bait shop, and you have all these lures you have to fake fish, and some look like fish, and some don't look like anything in nature.
Right.
And so visually, do you think most fish feed by sight?
Well, where the opportunity exists, and I think in these mountain lakes, the clear lakes, sight's very important.
Right.
But in the dark and in muddy water particularly, they still feed. You still, the tournament fishermen, bass fishermen catch fish in muddy water or clear water. They don't, it changes how they approach it. But they have certainly sensory mechanisms that let them spot that bait. I think as far as feeding, they're opportunist. If something gets close, they'll grab it. And although people now with the forward-looking sonar and all this down-looking, it's changed how we perceive.
Right.
When you see a fish come up to a bait and look at it and walk off, pardon the expression, they don't necessarily want it.
They do that a lot with forward facing, where they look at your bait, and then they slowly go away. Or if they're a crappie, you might spook them if you go like you present your bait over top. But they really don't hear what we.
No,
like,
it's a totally different,
Right,
it's totally, and they've got to have sensory mechanisms for taste because the attractants work.
Right,
and so there are things that once they get a hold of something. And there may be scents that get out in the water. I don't think we fully understand this. And, we just sell it mainly to the fishermen. But a lot of them work because they catch fish. But to me, in this whole fishing business, the most interesting thing has been the ability to look down and really see your bait. All this down-looking and forward-looking sonar has just changed the way we think about fishing, really.
Right.
And I don't know where it goes in the future, but I know that it's changed my own thought, and I don't have time to do it. But I talk to a lot of people come in, and particularly crappie, and even these young tournament fishermen, especially on bass, they'll go out and just spot one, a good one, and just literally make it bite.
Right.
If you pardon the expression, they tease that fish till he takes it, and. That's intriguing to me that you think about all the time we fished, and in my own case going back to the 50s, and when it was, we had no idea, we just threw a hair jig out there and hoped something bit it.
Right.
But now with all the new technology, I don't know, it's certainly changed the way I think about it. It's confused me, really, to be honest with you. I thought I understood it better, but now watching, and my own brothers have the units, they fish, and they're not very good at it. We're too old. You need to be young to really be a good.
Oh, I don't know about that. There's some
there's old timers that
are
pretty
good. There's old timers learning.
Anyway, it's fascinating, and it changed. I think the way we perceive what really attracts them. Right. We know in clear water where they can see it. Sights.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, well, that's pretty obvious. But all this, all these mechanisms that cause them to want to bite and not bite, and I can think of examples. Years ago, when I was working with the Fish and Wildlife Service, we did a lot of rotting on work, and in the afternoons we would have time. We were through with work and right. We had scuba gear, and we were curious. We'd get a bunch of crawdads and find a school of bass sitting off a point,
and
a couple of us just go down and sit on the bottom with scuba gear on, and they could drop a live crawfish in. Some days that crawfish would go all the way through those bass, nothing would look at it. Another day, and it was day after day, looked the same. So there are other things we don't understand.
Right.
Why it's sometimes they feed, sometimes they don't. That may be what you're seeing with the down looking. You know, sometimes you put a bait down, and you do a lot of it.
Yeah.
I'm sure you can explain a lot to me. But sometimes you put a bait down, and it grabs it. And
right.
other times you can't make that fish bite it.
Right.
And so I don't know what the difference is.
Let's go back. You talked about selling scents in the store here. What's one of the popular scents? What are some of the scents that you're selling?
Well,
here?
I don't know if anything's really the most. Some people just like scents. They'll
right.
buy crawfish scents, shad scents.
How about garlic?
Garlic has always been good.
Italian.
And, to me, it's kind of obnoxious. But for whatever reason, I don't know whether you're killing a human scent. I don't know what the mechanism is, but we still have a market for scents. It's much smaller than it used to be. We went through a period of time when it was a big deal, and they still you've got for crappie some of these little scents that they
the crappie nibbles
and some of the little slab sauces, the type things that those are all. They're used. I don't know whether they work or not. I know people like them, and if the fisherman likes it and buys it, that's a good scent.
That's a good scent.
but that, I don't know of anything really. I don't know how they work. I know they've got to taste them. I had a friend who used to could catch crappie on a crappie nibble. That's all he put on a hook.
Really?
Take a jig hook, and in wintertime, he could put a couple of crappie nibbles on a jig hook and with a bare hook and catch crappie. So.
Wow.
They do bite, and anyway, it's
let's go back to color too. You talked a little bit about color, and colors in water, because there'll be situations where you're fishing in stained water, and it seems like more colorful or bright colors.
Right,
but
right.
how does that relate? How have you seen fish relate different to different colors?
Well, in my experience has been when they're in the spring, well, we could take crappie as an example.
Okay.
You do a lot of little crappie baits. A lot of times in the spring, we'll sell bright colors for trolling.
Right.
And as you go into summer, they seem to come much more to a natural look. You've got a couple of examples there. In the spring, you might take something with some chartreuse or bright, and then late summer, I sell more of these.
Uh-huh.
So it seems like as the season goes on and the water clears, they seem to gravitate toward a more natural look, if you pardon, maybe one way of looking at it. But in the spring, when it's murky, we saw some exotic, crazy colors, pink and chartreuse, orange, bright orange is a good color. And, but it changes as the water clears. And as the season goes on, it may be because there's a more of an abundance of shad, and they just imprint on that. And that's what they begin feeding on. But there's definitely a seasonal pattern to it. And this carries through for all of the baits. For whatever reason, kind of naturally dark green colors, green pumpkin, watermelon, for whatever reason, the green in soft plastics is just a good color in this clear water. We sell a lot of it.
Like regional.
I think it's regional. You see here, when it gets muddy, they'll go to different colors. A lot of black at night.
Uh-huh.
And so it just,
I don't know I sell it and I've done
so
it for
you
years.
So you see people.
I see people, yeah. And a lot of them have their preferences, and I think to a certain degree it's important what they're comfortable with.
Right.
And that has nothing to do with the fish, but the fisherman, if he likes it and he has confidence in what he's throwing, he's going to have more.
Right.
He's going to have more success, I think. So.
Let's go back to sound. We talked a little bit about sound, but sound itself, and I know before we started getting the show going, we had talked about sound and how forward-facing sonar had a sound, and my preference is always if sonar scared fish away, then ice fishermen who have been using, basically traditional 2D sonar, they wouldn't have caught anything.
Right.
But yet, year after year, ice fishermen are sitting
absolutely
on top.
Looking. And we've used sonar the whole progression of sonar from back to the green box that Carl Lorenz came out with 50 years ago to now, these are impulses in the water.
Uh-huh.
But they're a frequency, evidently, that and I'm sure somebody that's developed it could tell us a whole lot about it.
Oh, yeah, we could look it up and find the frequencies.
And you find some information. But for whatever reason, it seems to be outside the range of what irritates a fish. Certain noises, I think definitely scare them off. We were talking earlier. I mentioned when I was a youngster, we used to do limb lining on the rivers. And we would put a cowbell on our line, and when a fish got on, he'd ring the bell, and then he'd start this rhythmic movement, and we'd get in our boat to go get it. Well, that fish could be 400 yards downstream, and when we pushed our old metal flat-bottom boat over the rocks to get in the water, he would become excited. So there's certain noises that are definitely irritations to him, and I think they probably scare. I don't think there's any doubt about it. You've had experiences with the
scaring them. I think trolling motors scare trolling motors that the props are not in sync, are off centered and they give off
certain
that.
Vibrations. I'm sure are great irritants to them. Yeah. So they have their sensory mechanism. It's not a set of ears like we have, but the lateral line and they've got sensory organs in the head and they definitely. Live in an environment where their ability to sense certain vibrations is orient them. How do they live in muddy water,
So you used to catch a lot of white bass with dark-colored jigs, white bass, right?
Well,
up the river, you'd catch them in the night or in the evening,
with black at night. But then I tried sometimes using chartreuse at night, and it didn't seem to make much difference.
Oh, it did.
I just thought it needed to be black. So when this was 50 years ago, but when Beaver was young, my night bait was a black jig or a little black.
Like a marabou.
No, a little marabou. At the time, we were using little crappie sliders, little small plastic baits, and we always went to black at night. But they find it. So they're sensing. I never did understand exactly how and what we see is absolute dark. Something could. But if the bass fishermen at night without the moon catch a lot of fish.
Yeah, do you think moon plays a big part
in
their feeding? The pull of gravity, or do you think?
I think it's light. I really do. I think it's light. And of course, light affects how we see things. There's a lot of conversation about fish spawning on a full moon, but years ago, back in the 70s, we had a group with the National Reservoir Research Program that studied it, and they seemed to spawn as much when it was black as when it was light. But I think in light, fishermen can actually see at night the nests and think, well, they're spawning on a full moon.
Uh-huh.
But so it may not, that light may not make any difference, but certainly light affects what color. I mean, if you got a spinnerbait and there's vibration with the blade, but if you got a bright blade on a moonlit night, you got the benefit of both sight and vibration to attract that fish. But now with a jig or then you're just, if it hits the bottom, it makes a vibration. Uh-huh. We call it a sound for our, and we could hear it as if we were in the water. You could actually hear these underwater with scuba gear. You could hear, there's all kinds of little devices you put on the jig to make a noise, a rattle, if you use, pardon the expression. But, those and fish will come to them. I've taken at times just a couple of rocks when I was scuba diving,
right.
Tap them together in the water, and you'll see a bass come up. Right. Maybe not very big, but
right.
they certainly perceive these vibrations. I don't think they hear them as we do.
Right.
But their lateral line and all the sensory organs they have, I think they're very much aware of what's around them.
I think I wanted your job when you went scuba diving after work.
Well,
seemed like job.
Better known owning a tackle store.
You're out there like getting to swim around.
Well, that was after we were using the scuba to set block nets for rote noting.
Oh.
But we had time. We'd start at 6 o'clock in the morning. We'd be through by 3 o'clock. We'd have the fish picked up. Had nothing to do till dark over on Bull Shoals with a bunch of biologists. I wonder what really, gets these fish going. And then we'd get under a rock and get a handful of crawfish and drop them down where we knew a school. And that some days that crawfish could just float through the whole thing, and they would ignore it. And other days, one would come up and get it.
And
of course, we knew where they were. We were looking at the fish. And I never did make sense out of why on consecutive summer days when it was 100 degrees, and the sun was shining, and it looked like exactly the same day as the day before. One day they fed, and the next day they didn't. And we did this over a period of several years, but just killing time in the evenings. But
I guess that's a good reason to own a bait store, because then you can offer people all different colors and baits,
right.
And colors and sizes.
Right.
That takes us to Tackle Time. Tackle Time sponsored by Pico Lures. Pico Lures, of course, has a complete line of hard and soft baits. All colors, sizes, and vibration.
Absolutely. Yeah, these
are just... So that's just a couple of them. And, of course, they have them all here. You can check them out right here at the store at Southtown Sporting Goods, or you can find them online. Our other sponsor is B&M Poles. B&M Poles, of course, has a complete line of rods for everything from catfishing to bass fishing to trout fishing.
Right.
They got it all. And in fact, Larry brought a couple here to show us. And I know the one that he said is super popular is this River one.
This is just a nice little inexpensive spinning rod. And
yeah.
It's very modestly priced and
right.
Very good action. That's a good one.
That's the Godwin crappie cast.
Yes.
Yep.
Then just for crappie fishing, there's looks like about an 11 footer.
Right.
Just a light, very light pole to reach out. And then if you really got a long arm or want to go a long ways, that's a 16 footer. So they make all kinds of product for them.
All you want to find, you can find them at bnmpoles.com. Larry, tell us where you're located at and kind of your store hours in case someone wants to come by and talk old days or go scuba diving fishing with you.
Well, we're located 4602 North College in Fayetteville, and we're just north of the Northwest Arkansas Mall and right next to Locomotion. So, anytime you're by, we'd love to stop and visit with you.
All right, there you go. Like I always like to end the show, make sure you keep your hook sharp and your lures in the water.